Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Station. They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I've got things I like to do. I like to watch television.
Jeff Lutz.
Well, you're just talking about all these shows, like old man.
Right.
What is that?
Like every show that starts, well, I'm watching it.
I don't get it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It is a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power, producing and engineering, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. What's up today? Why are you looking at your hat?
It's a nice little hat.
Kansas State hat. You continue to dress in K-State gear.
Yeah, I enjoy K-State. K-State's a nice little institution.
Bought that up at the... enrollment the other day, orientation.
The bookstore, at the student bookstore.
Doesn't seem to fit that well.
What are you talking about? It fits great.
You got a big head, and it doesn't seem to quite cover it all.
What does that even mean?
Well, let's see the back of it. What do you got? Is that a fitted hat?
No, it's an adjustable hat.
Yeah, it's a nice hat.
My wife said I look good in it, so I really don't care what you think. I don't really care what you think.
You look fine in it. I'm not going to rave about it.
Blue eyes pop out a little bit.
That's, really?
Yeah, can't you tell?
Nope.
You can. Don't lie.
Nope. I've never been able to tell.
I have blue eyes?
No, I know you have blue eyes. I don't look at your eyes very often. Just not how I'm made.
How are you made?
I don't look at people's eyes.
You don't look at people in the eyes? What
no, I don't look at eyes.
Well, that's pretty impolite and rude, but what are you going
to
do?
Somebody, I stare at something else.
You should get that checked out.
What do we got on tap today, you ask? Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director at 2:45 or thereabouts, his monthly appearance. Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle will talk about food and restaurants. I've come up with a new dish. Did I tell you about it yesterday?
What style of Vienna sausage are you cooking?
No Vienna sausage. We had the Primo's Mexican food truck out for our T-ball palooza a couple weeks ago, and they serve some really good, really, really good.
Can I ask you a question?
Chicken and beef.
Have you not had Mexican food?
And I went out and I went to their food truck Sunday out at Lowe's, and I just ordered a half pound of their shredded chicken. And a half pound of their shredded beef, and I've mixed it in with salsa and corn and hamburger meat and seasoning and
Chipotle.
Tortilla chips. It's so good.
Have you not had Mexican food
this dish, like my wife, last month? Just loves it.
I'm asking you a legitimate question.
We served it. We had it Sunday evening, the chicken, and she just loved it. And so yesterday we brought out the shredded beef dish that included some rice.
Wow.
It's just outstanding.
That's amazing. I've never heard of anyone come up with beef and rice before.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why do you mock me?
Because it's funny. Like last week or a few weeks ago, it's like, oh, we wanted to try something different, so we had tacos. I made a new dish that has rice and beef. Like what? Like have you had Mexican food before? This seems like a novel concept to you.
Well, I like this combination. I love the shredded chicken that they do and the shredded beef. It's very tasty. Well, they serve some really good salsa.
So you know what? You know what you should do? What was the name of this place?
Primo's.
Instead of saying, I made a new dish, say Primo's has some really good food that you can mix together.
No, I figured it out. I had this. I think about these things. What can I make? That chicken was just so good. And what can I make?
But you didn't make
to enhance it. What combination can I serve that will
And you came up with
this
beef
chicken?
And rice.
No, I came up with a lot of things. We put some corn in there, some seasoning that only I know about.
I'm sure. Salt.
No, really, it's the truth. I got it from our people.
What kind of seasoning?
I'm not going to tell anybody.
You don't know, do you?
Secret seasoning.
Yeah, well, that sounds amazing.
And we like it.
Well, good.
I don't know why you have to make fun of it.
Because it's worthy of being mocked. No offense, but...
And I got that.
You should be embarrassed.
I got that for the chicken and the beef. Okay?
I don't...
Enough to make 4 or 5 meals. I got it for a very reasonable price. They're very
so
reasonable.
What was the name of this place again?
I don't need to say.
Primo's.
All you're going to do is mock it.
No, I think if Primo's is good, then we'll say Primo's is good.
Why don't you go to Primo's?
I don't know where Primo's is.
They have a food truck, and they're at Lowe's quite often, and I follow them on Facebook so that I know when they're there. This will not be the only time I do this. This is a great addition. This is a scrumptious meal.
Okay.
And
have you ever thought about preparing a meal on your own?
This is on my own.
No, it's not.
All I do is buy the chicken and beef from them. What do you raise chickens and cows on? That's what you do.
So what do you?
You
where
slaughter
do you,
them.
Where does
and,
your little rice come
so,
from?
So where do you do that?
Where does your rice come from?
When you make a dish, what chicken do you use?
I don't
chickens from
I don't
your
buy
farm.
Buy chicken from a restaurant.
Where do you buy it?
At the store. And then
at
I prepare
the store.
It and I cook it and I cook it up
so
myself.
So why do that? If it's already prepared for you,
I'm more than happy to go get a prepared meal, but to then say I made this
but,
dish.
But I do make it.
869-1240. If you think Bob makes this
right,
deal,
I do.
Meal out
because of what I add to it.
Which is what?
Chips. Corn.
So
beef.
Rice. So you had Chipotle.
Salsa. You name it.
Okay, so this sounds like a Chipotle bowl.
Okay, I make it. I make the bowl.
Awesome.
It's better than Chipotle. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah, it may or may not be.
Well, no, it is better. It not may or may not be. What I make is better, and I'll tell Denise Neal about it.
Please don't.
No, I am.
I'm begging you not to.
Why are you mocking me?
I'm not. I'm just begging you not to do that. If you want to tout, is it Primo's, and extol their virtues, please, yeah, I'm all for it. But Denise Neal is a connoisseur of food. She's not going to want to hear about your beef and rice dish. No offense.
Really?
You can give it a shot, but I don't...
Even if it's spectacular. I could serve it to you right now, which I won't. You will never taste it.
Okay.
No, seriously.
That's fine.
You'll never taste it.
I can go make it at home.
No,
anytime I want.
Yours is terrible. I hate telling you
Where'd
that.
Where'd you get the corn from? Canned corn, I
assume? I hate telling you that, but yours is... No, I grew it. I got stalks of corn in my backyard.
But you can go buy fresh corn.
Of course I buy fresh corn.
In cans?
No.
Really?
Fresh corn.
So you cut it off the cob and cooked it?
Sure.
No, you didn't.
Of course I do.
You're a good guy. Very entertaining.
But I don't know why you seem to want to make light of my efforts.
They're not your effort. That's all I'm saying. You're just throwing it. I mean, you're making a casserole is really all you're doing.
Well, I'm a great casserole maker.
All right.
Better than your casseroles ever.
No, my casseroles are amazing.
Tell us about your casserole.
I got a little taco casserole going.
Tell us about it. How do you make it?
All right. Well, I get all the ingredients.
What are the ingredients?
From the store. Usually we go with a base
Not
of...
Not we. What do you do?
We go with a base of Spanish rice, which I...
Oh, that's boy, that's tough.
Which I make on my own.
Oh, yeah. What do you get the rice?
We get it at the store.
And how do you make it Spanish rice?
You put a little salsa and cheese and seasonings in.
Well, that's tough.
You couldn't do it.
Oh, tough one. What else?
That's your base. Then you go with a layer of corn.
Oh, where do you get the corn?
You have to store it. Canned corn, absolutely.
Oh, canned corn.
Yeah, certainly.
You don't do it like I do.
And then you go with your beef.
Well,
which,
how do you... Tell me about the beef. Where
the
do you
beef
get it?
With some onions.
Where do you get the
you
beef?
You mix in maybe a little cream cheese.
Where do you get the beef?
At the store.
Oh, the store.
Yeah.
Just hamburger meat.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you get the onions?
With taco seasoning, and you cut up the onions. They're
where
fresh.
Where do you get the taco seasoning?
In the cabinet.
This is nothing.
Sometimes we make our own with other spices, but
oh please, what other spices?
Cumin and whatever else.
You've never used that in your life.
I'm not a huge fan of cumin, but we've gone with and then we put the cheese on top.
Oh, tough.
And then you crush up maybe some jalapeno chips or
you crush them up.
Yeah, and you throw them on the top of the casserole. All it needs to be in the oven is for 3 minutes and melt the cheese, and you're good to go. It's wonderful.
Doesn't sound nearly as good as my
dish. I'll make it for you sometime.
Doesn't sound nearly as good.
Well, it's better.
Again, I didn't think it sounded very good.
Well, I will make it for you someday. I'm not stingy with my cooking. I enjoy cooking. I like doing it.
Good for you. Anyway, if you have a dish you make and you want to talk about it, give us a call at 869-1240. I'd be curious to hear about it.
I made a nice little stew the other day.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It was. A lot of ingredients, a lot of cutting.
Chop up some carrots, onions, beef, and you're ready to roll.
Yeah, and mushrooms in it.
That's not stew. No, you don't put mushrooms in the
stew. Well, I put mushrooms in the stew.
Well, I don't know why you'd do that.
Quite
mushrooms
good.
Would spoil a stew.
It didn't.
Do you put celery in it?
No, no celery.
Peas?
Sometimes.
Green beans?
No.
Corn?
Rarely.
Really?
We have different stews.
Potatoes?
We have different stews. This was a different kind of stew. We got the Irish stew sometimes. It's
potatoes,
good.
Carrots, beef, onions.
Yeah.
Mushrooms.
That's
it?
Yeah. It was good, though. Seasonings.
You don't know a thing about seasoning.
I season everything. If you had my, have you had my breakfast scramble before?
Yeah, it's
you haven't had
mediocre.
It. It's unbelievable.
It's mediocre.
You have never had it.
Of course I have. You brought it over once.
I only started making it recently.
It's okay.
You've not had it.
It's not that good. It's just not
everything
that good.
Everything I make is pretty good. I'm not going to make it if it's not good.
Are you watching, are we having a Money in the Bank party here Saturday?
Well, I'm sure I'll be here. I don't know about everybody
else.
Well,
what about everybody else? I need to talk to my friend Randy about the North High baseball team.
Well, I'll text all the Griffiths.
We've got another player who's going to go to North who's starting to get it figured out a little bit, and I'm excited about it.
No, that is exciting. Did the kid that made honorable mention All-Metro, is he a League 42 kid?
Yes.
Good.
We're starting to see some more kids develop.
It's exciting.
It is. You know, we're not saying we got major leaguers, but we got kids who are becoming good baseball players. Our season ends tomorrow. We got two championship games tonight. In the Monarch and Dodger divisions.
You got a
championship
game going tonight.
And then tomorrow night, the veteran champion.
That's your league.
That's our division.
Your division.
Yeah.
And you're going to be playing for a championship.
At 6:30. You going to come?
Well, I work tomorrow.
Oh, really? You're not getting out of work to come? My final game as a coach?
Your final game as a coach?
You're not coming. Is that what I'm to understand?
I guess so.
My final game. My final game.
Okay.
And my own son is not coming?
I guess not.
Well, that's a bad look.
How is that a bad look? I'm working.
You can get out of work.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. You're an official score.
You can't get out of work the day
three
before.
Three guys that are drinking along Douglas that could come over and do that.
You can't get out of work the day before.
Of course you can.
We already have people missing. I'm going to be there.
I'm reaching out to Jay Miller right now and saying, Jay, you're a good pal. Jeff needs to come to my final game in coaching.
I will be working tomorrow.
You'd rather do that.
Why are you putting me in that position?
No, I'm asking.
I'd rather do that than just about anything.
Then come to my final game as a coach.
Than just about anything.
Including that.
That might be on the list. I'd have to think about it.
Well, I hope your wife gets wind of it because she'll talk some sense into
No, she won't. She'll tell me to do what I want to do.
Then she's not loyal.
What are you talking about? She's not loyal.
Family should come first. And when there's a a milestone, that should take precedence over anything else.
You think so?
Well, no doubt I don't. It's not about thinking so. It's just a fact.
So you're going to put me through a guilt trip for no reason?
I'm not putting you through guilt.
I have to work. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to text Tim Grubbs at the break.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
This isn't your... And if you do that, I'm definitely working tomorrow.
No, I'm going to do it.
You're not going to involve yourself in my affairs. That's... Speaking of a bad look, that's one of the worst looks I've ever seen.
6:30 tomorrow.
No, I'll be at Riverfront Stadium.
Really?
Yes!
869-1240. What do you weigh in on this, ladies and gentlemen? I've been coaching in League 42 forever.
I played for you. I think I'm okay.
This is my final game as a coach. I've decided I'm moving on. I'm not going to be a coach anymore. I'm going to stay with League 42 for a while longer, because I enjoy it. But I'm going to rid myself of the coaching duties.
This is it.
And I'm going out on a great note. Win or lose tomorrow, these kids have been amazing. I've enjoyed every second I've coached them. They've been attentive, enthusiastic, willing to learn. I can't say enough about these 13 players.
Why don't you move your game to 8:30 so I can come catch the end of it?
Nah. Why would I move a game so you could come catch the end of it?
Why would I skip work?
Because it's your father's final game as a coach.
Is that? Okay.
That's why. I can't say it any more clearly.
Okay. I don't remember this huge bond we have over your coaching. I just
that's unusual. That's almost heartless to hear you say.
Oh, I'm asking.
No, you're not asking. That was not a question. That was a statement of why do I care?
No, it wasn't a statement
of
why do I care.
That's basically what you said.
No, it wasn't.
I don't remember a bond over you coaching is code for don't care.
No, it's not. It absolutely
is.
Yeah, I care.
Do you care enough to go to the game?
Well, we'll have to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, you're starting to weaken, aren't you?
I don't know. Am I?
Of course you are. Because at the bottom line, and we'll ask Denise Neal this question. She's a friend of both.
But if I had been to a bunch of your games as coach, and this was something that we really had together, I love watching my dad coach. I mean,
it's not about watching me coach; it's about watching these kids play.
I understand.
Watching me coach is no fun at all. Watching the kids play is fun. Enjoyable watching them play, watching them compete, and watching the kids on the other team compete. That's what it's all about. We play the Titans. They got a bunch of good kids too, and we look forward to it. Tough one for you.
No, I don't like being put in this position by anyone. You should know better.
Well, I don't know better. I just assumed. I guess I didn't even know the. When Surge was at home this week.
Well, I'm working tonight. I'm supposed to work tomorrow.
They play Thursday?
No.
That doesn't make sense. No game on the 4th.
They are on the road.
Well, that's too bad.
They're on the road.
I thought they had homestands of 6 games each. Why is this week different?
So every team can get a 4th of July game or 3rd.
Oh, there you go.
And then they have Sunday and Monday off, and then they resume normal. And they have a 3-game series mixed in because this one's only 3.
How are they doing, by the way? Is the first half over?
Yeah, I think they're 5-3, 4-3, 4-2.
Springfield won the first half. Am I right about that?
I'm not sure.
Well, why not?
Because I don't really pay attention.
Well, I care about Springfield.
Well, I assume they did great then.
I got to go to when they got one more series here, and I got to make sure I get there.
You got a couple pitchers in the futures game.
Yeah, Dean Kentz and Quinn Matthews. So we'll see. All right, time for a break. Max Power Producing and Engineering will come back and catch up on NBA happenings.
What time is Denise on?
A little bit about Major League Baseball. What?
What time is Denise on?
3:00. Denise Neal at 3:00, Kevin Saul at 2:45 or thereabouts. Back in a minute.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KF.
We've got the Royals in action tonight at home against Tampa Bay. They finish out their home stand. It's been a successful one for Kansas City, which hit the skids a little bit on the road. They've not played well on the road all year long, but they have the Rays coming in. As we now get to the month where we're going to have a lot of talk about the trade deadline, teams trying to position themselves for more success in the postseason. And the Royals, as we talked to Aaron Rodgers about yesterday, in a spot where if they could add an outfield bat and maybe a bullpen arm, that would be a pretty good combination to get them to October, in my opinion.
Perhaps.
You don't like talking about the Royals.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to think about the Royals.
You're supposed to talk like a baseball guy.
Okay, well, what am I supposed to think so much better at home? What if they figured out that they can score, they can hit, they can do all these things at home, but they can't play on the road? What am I supposed to think about
that? You're supposed to say that's not that unusual for teams to play much better at home. Look at Cleveland, 26-9 at home, 26-21 on the road.
Yeah, that's still an above.
Good road team, and they have a lot of home games, but much, much better at home. Look at Baltimore. They're actually almost the same. There are a bunch of teams. Seattle, 14 games over at home, 6 under on the road. The Twins, 7 over at home, 3 over on the road. Not a big disparity. The Royals, 14 over at home, 6 under on the road.
20 games.
The Phillies, 19 over at home, only 7 over on the road. The Braves, 12 over at home, 2 under on the road. The Mets, an anomaly, 4 under at home, 4 over on the road. Cardinals, 6 over on at home, 3 under.
Yeah, we're not just talking about the record, though. We're talking about their ability to play baseball. Royals have it at home. They do not on the road. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
It sometimes takes players a while to learn how to go on the road and play the same.
I guess.
There's more adversity. You're doing things. There's a difference being on the road than playing at home, like Ann said yesterday. You're in your own beds at night. It takes a little bit of mental fortitude to be able to make it happen when you're away from home.
Yeah, and I really don't like the Royals at all.
Well, they don't like you. You know, they don't like you.
No, they don't. And that's fine. That's all wonderful. I don't know. Go get an outfielder, Royals, I guess.
I changed my tune on the Royals because they've been so supportive of League 42.
What was your tune before?
Well, before I had anything to do with them, I didn't care about the Royals. Now, because they've been reaching out, they want to do so much to help League 42. They already have done a ton to help League 42. My good, they've done more than the Cardinals. The Cardinals haven't done anything.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Royals have done a lot.
How much contact have you had with the Cardinals?
Well, I haven't reached out.
Maybe you should be a Royals fan.
I'm not saying I'm a Royals fan, but I appreciate the Royals.
Because when you tried to gather items for a potential auction,
the Royals sent us a bunch.
And the Cardinals.
Well, Cardinals, what did I just say? Try to comprehend what's being said.
I did. You said you haven't reached out to the Cardinals regarding.
I reached out to everybody.
Okay, so what did the Cardinals send?
Nothing.
Okay. Maybe you should be a Royals fan.
Well, I'm not going to be a Royals fan over the Cardinals because the Cardinals are a part of my existence.
I get it.
I shared that with my father, which meant something to me to have the same allegiance as my father.
But wouldn't it be nice if...
Wait a minute, I'm talking. It meant something to me that I could share that with my dad.
Awesome.
Yeah. That meant something.
What do you think your dad is saying looking down, knowing that you've now been a Cardinals fan for almost as long as he was alive, and they're doing nothing to acknowledge your fandom or appreciate you or help you out?
Well, I haven't really reached out, so...
Well, now might be the time.
Maybe I'll do that.
Be sure to delete all your tweets before you do it.
What do you mean, delete all my tweets?
Well, you got a lot of negativity toward the Cardinals.
Not really negativity, just being a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of John Mozeliak. I'm not a big fan of... And it's not that I dislike him. I just think he's been there too long. They've gotten...
stagnant.
Yeah. And they need a new set of eyes.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that.
Can't hurt.
Every organization goes through that.
My organization hasn't had a new set of eyes in 40 years.
What do you mean?
They've gone from John Hart to his underling Mark Shapiro to his underling Chris Antonetti to...
Well, they all have different eyes.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same philosophy.
No, it's not. No. Everybody brings in a new set of ideas. So what if they...
They're pretty cookie cutter. They're pretty much the same.
Well, they don't have any money.
Well, I'm just talking about the way they talk, the way they approach things. John Hart was a little more liberal, but the last three guys, the last three GMs have been your Harvard types, your that kind of.
Well, quit complaining.
They're doing well.
52-30.
They're doing well.
Yeah, quit complaining. That's my point.
Not complaining.
It sounds like
just making a point.
I mean, what do you want?
There was no complaint in there anywhere.
Well, it sounded like a complaint. I'll just say that.
Well, don't be so negative.
We'd all like to be 52-30. I said we'd deal with the NBA. Donovan Mitchell goes back to the Cavs on a max contract, but they need more, don't they?
Doesn't sound like they're going to get more. Sounds like they're going to run it back with the team that they've assembled and not really make any moves.
I don't know if I like that.
They should be better than they are.
You added James Wiseman to your roster. Did you see that?
Oh, absolutely.
Stiff. Can't play dead in the Cowboy movie.
What an acquisition.
That's how bad that guy is.
Well, he's our third center, so I'm not sure that he necessarily is going to make or break the future of the
Pacers.
Try to
get somebody who's going to make an impact.
I would sure like that, but again, it sounds like the Pacers are backing off of making moves. They used to say, you know, we'll be aggressive, and if we see the right move, we'll go get it. Now they're saying, yeah, we kind of like what we have here, which is encouraging and discouraging all at the same time, but it is what it is.
So I just saw a list of the top 10 remaining free agents. LeBron James at number one. He's going to go back to the Lakers. Who else are the Lakers going to add, if anyone?
Well, it sounds like they've zeroed in on DeMar DeRozan. That's about it. There's nobody out there really left who would make any kind of significant impact on that roster. You have an aging DeMar DeRozan. I guess he's an okay fit. I think he's out of LA, or at least he went to USC.
Well, what's LeBron want? He wants to win one and then head into the sunset.
But he's not gonna.
Well, I don't know if he is or not.
He's just not.
Well, I don't know if he is.
That team's not good enough to do it.
I don't know if they are.
Yeah, you do. We just saw it.
I don't know.
They've not added anybody.
If they add DeMar DeRozan and then the Dalton Connect from Tennessee as a shooter, Dalton Connect could have a really good rookie year.
He could, but he's not going to be the difference between
I don't know that.
A play-in team and an NBA champion.
I don't know that. I'm not ready to say that.
I am.
No, you're not.
I've been ready.
You're not ready.
I finally said it after a lot of readiness leading up to it.
You're not ready to say it.
Dalton Connect.
Buddy Hield is a free agent. Now, a couple years ago, the Lakers really wanted him. Not the case anymore, apparently.
No, he's not very good.
Well, that's too bad.
One trick pony. And
you know who's the only... There's only one player over the past 5 years who's made more three-pointers than Buddy Hield.
Right, and it's Steph Curry.
Only one.
But that's all he does. He doesn't... He doesn't get to the basket. He doesn't defend. He doesn't pass. He doesn't rebound.
But what if you need a guy to come in and make threes?
Well, then he's either going to go 6-for-9 or 0-for-11.
Okay, I'll take a chance on the 6-for-9.
Maybe. But he's going to.
I hope he shoots the Pacers right out of the playoffs.
When he's your fourth best player and he's 0-for-11, you can't win that way.
I hope he shoots the Pacers right out of the playoffs.
He shot the Pacers out of a lot of games this past year. Yes.
So now you're talking bad about Buddy Hield.
I'm not talking bad. I'm just.
He's one of my favorite players.
Just calling it like I see it.
You know, he played at Sunrise Academy.
I do.
Why would you disparage a Wichita guy?
I'm not disparaging him. I'm just calling it the way I saw it.
We don't ever talk negative about Wichita people.
He had
here.
Some nice moments for the Pacers, but
thank you.
Clearly he wasn't going to be part of their long-term plans.
Thank you for acknowledging that he contributed.
Nor were the Pacers going to be part of his long-term plans. That was a relationship that was going to end like it did last year.
Are you back on the Pacers next year?
Of course.
I'll have to wait and see.
I might try to jump on the Nashville Predators for real, too. Get that hockey package and watch.
I don't think you care that much about hockey.
I don't know. I don't think I do either.
I don't think. No, there's no way.
There's a
way. That would feel like a job. If you actually said on this show that you're going to go all in on the Nashville Predators and buy the hockey package, you'd become a laughingstock.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because you can't do it.
I doubt it. It's unlikely, but it's not.
But you'd have to do it if you said you were going to do it.
Yeah. Well, if I bought the package, I wouldn't want to waste money.
There's no way you're going to do that.
You think I can learn about hockey and become
There's
a guy?
There's no way you're going to do that.
It's a good sport. It's fun. Everybody likes it.
There's no way you're going to do it.
There's not no way. There's a greater percent chance than zero.
No, I'm calling it pretty much zero.
It might be pretty much zero, but it is not.
It's another one of those things. You are becoming famous on this show.
For what?
For talking about the things you're going to do
like
that never happen. For all of everything.
Like what?
I'm going to run an NBC team. I'm going to do a story on Joe Auer. I'm going to do a podcast on just one after another. It's a litany.
I don't know about all that.
In your brain, you keep developing.
Yeah, and then
these
I feel
things.
Like I want to move on,
right,
to the next thing.
And but the former thing never happened.
Oh, I did some podcasts. I did some Wichita's Finest. I did some stuff.
Right, but it didn't stick.
Yeah, I like moving.
Those are two good things.
I like moving on
stick.
To the next thing.
Something's got to stick.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I disagree profoundly with that. When you take on something, it has to be there.
What's wrong with just trying some things and seeing, you know?
Because that's frustrating for people.
It is?
Yes.
People are frustrated
Especially
with
employers.
Me. I don't see any employers being frustrated with me.
I mean, you have these good ideas and then you abandon them.
I was abandoned.
So you gotta come through.
Okay, but I was abandoned.
I don't believe that.
It wasn't just me. I was also not well supported in that.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't have to.
Here's Kevin Saul, the athletic director at Wichita State University, making his monthly appearance here on our show. Kevin, how are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We're okay. Since we were talking a little music, what's your bent for music? What are you most drawn to?
Man, I am all over the place. I just had the iTunes going, and I'd be embarrassed to tell you, like, literally, I am all over the place. It might be Eagles, Beatles. You might get a little hip hop. You might get a little bit of 60s folk music influenced from my dad. Little bit of oldies, 80s rock. I'm all over the place.
That sounds actually pretty good to me.
Sounds all good to me.
Yeah, I'm with it. So here we are. July just started. It's kind of that period between things. At least that's the perception. For you, what is this period of time like? And for your athletic department, what's going on at Wichita State?
Well, we got a bunch going on. I appreciate you asking. We just finished up the AUX softball, which was 18 home games, all on linear TV, the traditional cable networks. That over the month of June, Brad Pittman and our ops team just did a phenomenal job there. And really the eyes of the softball world were on us for about 3 weeks. So it was really, really good for our program and our softball program and university and obviously the city of Wichita. So appreciate Josh Howe and so many other folks that that helped make that happen. And then we're coming up on TBT here pretty soon, guys. And obviously you're well familiar with that event, and we look forward to it. We've got a great schedule, two great brackets, and looking forward to those days ahead. Otherwise, we're in the middle of a lot of fundraising conversations, still working at NIL and trying to shore up recruiting in both softball and baseball. So we got a lot going.
Yeah, just to expand on the softball thing, you know, it's no accident that that came to Wichita, that it did really well in Wichita. How do you find Wichita as a burgeoning or maybe even already established softball community, and what can that do for the program at Wichita State?
Well, I think it's really huge, Jeff. It is an established, really supportive group. Youth softball is obviously big in the state and in the region. So we had a lot of youth teams and parents bringing their daughters to the event as well, which mirrors, you know, our home events. We had, 2 years ago, I think we had 6 sellouts. Last year we had a couple. We had 4 sellouts in AUX. So obviously that speaks to the popularity in the community. And I'm just incredibly pleased and gratified that Wichita as a community comes off so well in events like that. And it's a coordination and collaboration from so many different people. But it certainly puts in a very, very good light our community, our city, our softball program, and what softball looks like in this region. So incredibly excited to have it. I could not say more great things about Brad Pittman and our facilities and operations team. You know, Brad went up to Chicago last year and pitched Wichita as a home site for that, and they bought in. And he did a really nice job recruiting that event, again, with Josh Howell and his team to get it here. And I think we will be a mainstay in that moving forward, much as we have been with TBT. And really, guys, that extends to NCAA championships. Every 4 years, we put in numerous bids for championships within that 4-year cycle. And we're incredibly excited and optimistic about some new championships coming our way. So, you know, Wichita is a great place. We have a lot to offer from the fan base to hotels, restaurants, entertainment. You guys know I don't have to sell you on it, but it is a great place. And we're making a coordinated and collaborative effort to get as many of those types of events here as possible.
So I presume, we're talking with Kevin Saul, I presume you're not ready to tell us about any of those. I've got to ask.
Well, yeah, they're out there, and it's none of them are promised, but we were encouraged when we went up to Indianapolis to learn about all the bids. We showed the NCAA what we were planning to do with University Stadium, formerly Cessna, and they had encouraged us to submit a bid for the national championship. So we are optimistic about that. Obviously, you guys know that lives in Eugene and has for a very long time. What may not be as well known is the college track coaches across the country aren't overly excited about traveling all the way up to the Pacific Northwest every year for a championship. So typically what they do is they'll do 3 years in Eugene and then do a year someplace in the Midwest, more centrally located. Last year that was at UT Austin. And then this past this spring, they were back up in Eugene. So we think that we might be in the running for a Midwest site. We believe we'll have a premier track and field facility for that when the time comes. And that would be a major coup for Wichita and for Wichita State to be able to bring an event like that to our place.
So So, Kevin, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you probably did, there was an antitrust lawsuit filed by some college basketball players, former college basketball players, including a couple at KU. And I don't know if this is drifting out of your purview into like a law area, but I just wanted to know what you thought of that, if it's realistic for athletes who are not at the institution anymore to be paid essentially for highlights and highlight videos and things like that. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I'm not a law expert there, so I certainly don't want to put ourselves in a bad position by getting too far out on a limb with that. I do certainly understand, you know, the House settlement has much to do with retroactive NIL. And certainly as that matter continues to proceed forward, we expect a ruling from the judge on that really any week now to understand what our obligation to that is going to be moving forward. But this is the type of activity, I think, guys, that you're hearing so much about in terms of, at the end of the day, the NCAA is a membership organization, and it runs 91 different championships. And part of the way that they fund those championships is by promoting through ticket sales and sponsorships and corporate engagements and all of those things. And obviously the student athletes have been a part of that for decades. So I think that there's certainly folks out there that sense that the NCAA might be in a weak position. But again, as they work through the House settlement and then understand what revenue sharing might look like moving forward, it's tough to really ascertain what these types of lawsuits, what grounds they truly will have in the courts. Obviously, we will soon see. But again, I think we've got to get to a sustainable model where whatever entity it is that has the ability to determine rules and regulations and then enforce them isn't subject to litigation every time they try to do so.
And getting to that sustainable model could be a little bit painful. Kevin Saul with us from Wichita State Athletics. So since you took on this job, men's basketball has been in a state. I wouldn't call it a state of turmoil, but certainly a state of flux and trying to win back the trust of fans and get them to buy in that men's basketball is going to be back and going to be successful has been a challenge for you and your department. How's that going? How do you feel like the trust factor has improved now with Coach Mills and starting his second year and people able to see now what he's been able to get from the transfer portal? Where do you think that is right now, Kevin?
You know, I think painting it with a very broad brush, I think that the trust is there for the most part. Again, this is a very broad brush, so it's dangerous. We may have some folks that don't fit into this mold that we're painting here. But I also think that there's somewhat of a wait and see. And I living it every day and walking with Paul and his staff and our administrative team, having done this for nearly three decades, I can see that we're headed in the right direction in terms of acquisition and retention of talent. We've talked on your show before, guys, the average American Athletic Conference school in our league has lost eight players off their roster, and we lost three. So you're seeing, again, we're not batting 1,000, but you're seeing retention at a different level, better than average. And I think that's good. I think you're seeing acquisition of talent, and elite level talent at a different level than we have previously in the transfer portal. I think we've got some really, really talented young men and women on the women's side with Terry Nooner. They've done a phenomenal job bringing in some really great talent. And then I think if you're watching practices, you can see the competition on the floor within each position. It really has ramped up. And I think that speaks to any coach would tell you that competition at every position speaks to a really competitive team moving forward. So I don't know, Bob, that we're ever going to reach the finish line as it relates to your question, but we're going to continue to work at it really hard. You know, Paul's been doing probably three or four lunches with either myself or our development staff here in the off season. We had dinner last night, and we talked about this very subject last night, is our firm desire to We understand we've got some work to do to earn trust all the way back. And we're going to continue to do that. And the primary focus has obviously got to be improving the product on the floor and then obviously connecting and engaging with our fan base. And we want to do that. So we welcome any opportunity. I rarely, if ever, say no to an opportunity to grab a coffee or lunch or dinner with folks. And we will continue to reach out. Despite popular opinion, we've been here 2 years and we still haven't met with everybody in the city of Wichita. We won't stop until we do so.
So, Kevin, real quick, just on the retention aspect of it, you don't seem like a person who would just arrive at a conclusion quickly or, you know, spontaneously. So I have to imagine there's data that you've seen that, hey, retention and as opposed to transfers and rebuilding your team every year. It seems like common sense, but what have you seen in that regard that tells you that this is the right way to build a team?
Well, what we've seen is older rosters tend to be a little bit more successful, obviously with everybody getting an additional COVID year. So you have a 22 and 23 year old that you haven't traditionally had. So the age, I think, is good. I think you're better at whatever it is that you aspire to do. You're better in the second year than you are in the first, and you're better in the third year than you are in the second. So having guys that are coming back or young women that are coming back into your program, having already known the staff and the system and what you're trying to talk through and learn, the language that's associated with all those things, there's benefits in that continuity. If you look at there's two data points. If you look at nationally, about 2,000 players in the portal this past basketball portal window, and you look at that over 350 schools, and it's probably 6.5, 7 if you do the math. And then, as I just mentioned, in our league, the average team lost 8 off their roster because the American Athletic Conference is positioned uniquely. It's the 7th strongest league in the country. There's 32 leagues, and it sits at 7th. The Big East and the Power 5 are positioned above it, and then you've got 8 through 32. So what you see is kind of a transitionary pivot point where if young people are not successful in the American, they tend to shift down. If they're successful in the American, for the most part, we're seeing it in our league, an average of 8 players per team in our league have transferred off those rosters. If they're really successful, they're shifting up. So for us to be able to say, hey, we've only lost 3, as opposed to the 8. Now, you've got to retain quality players. So 5 of the 7 that we retained were top scorers from last year. So we're certainly returning some points. You've got a really, really talented point guard in Justin Hill coming from Georgia that was 3rd in the SEC in assists. He was averaged 10 points a game. His true point guard. You've got Corey Washington. You've got AJ McGinnis. And I could go on and on about these guys, and they've had some real success. So I think, Jeff, it's a combination of retention, age, and then obviously acquisition of talent in certain slots where you might be deficient.
All right, Kevin, as always, we appreciate your time and for enlightening us and all Shocker fans. Thank you, and happy 4th.
Yeah, happy 4th to you guys. Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.
Thanks.
Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Coming up next, Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle. First, don't forget about the big event coming up Thursday, July 4th, at Riverfront Stadium, Red, White, and Boom. That event actually gets going a little earlier in the evening at 6 o'clock on the lawn at the Hyatt. Fireworks at around 9:40. Lots of seating at Riverfront Stadium. We're proud to be a partial sponsor of Red, White, and Boom. So head out. Back in a minute with Denise.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.